I want us to turn to that passage this morning that we read together from Luke chapter 8. And I wonder how many of you picked up the common themes in the hymns that we have sung this morning. The second one, we were talking about, we have heard the joyful sound. The one we just sung, have you heard the voice of Jesus? And those of you who flick through the hymn books, you will find that our last hymn is, I hear thy welcome voice. And this morning, I want to preach about a hearing problem. Often, I'll be preaching and people will cup their ears. Maybe I have a habit when I want to emphasize something, instead of shouting, I'm inclined to drop my voice and people will cup their ears and they have a hearing problem. If you look at the passage that we read this morning, it would seem, particularly if we look at the ESV headings, it would seem that we have got just a bunch of unrelated stories. Verses 4 to 8, the parable of the sower. Verses 9 to 15, the purpose of the parables. 16 to 18, a lamp under a jar. And then verses 19 to 21, Jesus' mother and brothers. But I'm sure you, like I, am beginning to get to know Luke a little bit better. And we realize that there is nothing random about the way he arranges the stories in his gospel. He doesn't attempt to give us a clear chronology. And he doesn't start at the beginning and then say this happened and that happened and that happened. He does start at the beginning and he does finish at the end of Christ's life. But in between, he brings together stories in order to emphasize points that he wants to make. Luke is a doctor, isn't he? He is a man with a systematic mind. He has to diagnose the problems that people come to him with, and he has to then provide the correct treatment. So he would begin by saying to a person, well, what are the symptoms? What are the problems? Why have you come to see me? And when he has got their answer to that question, he will then start asking further questions. Well, what is it that led you to this point in your life? Have you been to this sort of place? Have you eaten that type of food? And he's got this systematic mind. He looks at the symptoms. He hopefully produces or reaches a diagnosis. This is your problem. And then he might present a prognosis. This is how I think it is going to develop. Because even a well-qualified doctor cannot say what is going to happen. And it might be that the doctor is able to say, you have got this problem. Therefore, I will treat you in this way, and hopefully you will get better. Or, as happens in so many cases, the doctor has to say, I'm sorry, I've got some sad news for you. There is no hope. And this is the mind that has drawn these stories together. Luke knows our problem. He knows where we have got to get to. He knows what he wants to happen as a result of people reading his gospel. You'll remember that John the Baptist was called to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Dr. Luke is preparing people for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is preparing people to meet with God. And as he does that, he brings these four stories together. And he shows us one of our greatest needs. And that's my first heading this morning. our greatest need. Now, if I were to ask you this morning, what is your greatest need? I'm sure I would get many and varied answers. But let's look at the way Dr. Luke emphasizes our greatest need. Because there's a common thread through all of these stories. Verse 8, towards the end. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 12, those who have heard. Verse 13, when they hear the words. Verse 14, they are those who hear. Verse 15, those who hearing the word. Verse 18, take care then how you hear. And then verse 21, at the end of the series, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. What is Dr. Luke dealing with? He is dealing with a hearing problem. He is dealing with the way that we hear and respond to the word of God. There are two basic causes of deafness. One is a medical condition related to age or some other health issue. The second one is selective deafness, where people choose not to hear. I'm sure there are many parents here this morning who realize their children have selective deafness, aren't they? Did you hear me? No, Mum? When did you say that? Were you laughing, Holly? we all know that, don't we, in our own lives. Sometimes, I did hear it, but I just need to do this. Well, essentially, Jesus is concerned with that second problem, selective hearing. People who hear the word of God, or are at least present when the word of God is preached, but in reality choose not to respond in a sensible or a biblical way. I'm sure there are many people here this morning and in the wider world who can tell me the parable of what we call the sower. They can tell you about the places that the different seed fell. But how many can actually give a clear explanation of what Jesus was trying to teach in that parable? Because it is so easy to hear words but not to take them in and not to apply them in our lives. Now, what is it that Jesus was talking about? Well, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And we are told in two places in this series of stories. Verse 11, the seed is the word of God. Verse 21, those who hear the word of God. Jesus is talking about our hearing of the word of God. Jesus is in fact saying that hearing the word of God is to be a priority in our lives. And there are serious implications from what Jesus is saying here. There's a way in which Jesus is actually saying that it is far more important to hear the word of God than it is to read the word of God. Now let's put that into its historical setting. We have all grown up with the idea that we are to have a daily quiet time. We are to read the Bible. Our relationship with God is so, so important. Nothing wrong with that. It's a good practice. But let's rewind a little bit and realize that probably about 150 years ago, even in our own country, the majority of people could not read well because they hadn't had the privilege of going to school. Another problem, most of us have got at least one Bible. Probably many of us have 10 or 12 different Bibles. And we can choose which one we want to read. But again, going back, maybe even not 150 years, but people couldn't afford to have their own Bible. So, reading the Bible could not be a priority at that time. But hearing the Word of God could, because the churches provided a Bible. The responsibility of the minister within the church was to read the Word of God and to preach the Word of God. And it is important that the reading and the hearing of the Word of God in a public place, in a public gathering, is to be a priority in our lives. Let's see how Jesus draws this out. He's made this statement, "Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear." He's saying, make it a priority. But in verse 18, he says, "Take care then how you hear." And there's a vital instruction here, and one that is not always seriously considered. It's important that we give priority to the hearing of the word, and there are various applications to this. For example, Jesus is saying here that we are to make the hearing of God's word a priority in our lives. Do you, in fact, plan your week saying, it is vital that I am with God's people on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening, at the midweek meeting for prayer, or at a Bible study that has been arranged specifically for my group in order that we might hear the Word of God? Take care then how you hear. The Lord is saying, make it a priority. I want you to consider too this implication of hearing the Word of God together. I spoke about the luxury of modern education and the fact that we can read the Word, but I know for a fact that there are people in this congregation who regularly take trips to Seattle, to New York City, to Minnesota. What am I on about? They get on the internet and they're listening to various preachers, Tim Keller and John Piper, Mark Driscoll, and they're hearing different people, good preachers, and I'm not criticizing any of those men. But there's a way in which it's important that we give priority to hearing the Word of God. How many of the ladies, for example, might set out to do the ironing and they say, oh, I'll switch on a sermon while I'm doing this. And it's there in the background. Or maybe the men are doing a job in the garage or in the shed. Oh, I'll switch on somebody's sermon. And they're sort of half listening to it. Now the Lord is saying, take care then how you hear. If I can use those two illustrations. Ladies, how many of you would do the ironing with guests in the house? And yet, you're prepared to listen to the Word of God in that way. Men, would you welcome somebody into your home and then say, oh, well, I'm just off down the garden now. I'll see you later. I'll pop in every now and again to have a chat with you. No, the Lord is saying, take care how you hear. And we have come to hear God's word, to concentrate on hearing it, so that it might be the priority of our lives. And notice this last statement in this whole series, verse 21. My mother and my brother are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now, is Jesus throwing aside his mother? No, we know for a fact that she was an important person in his life, and the day that he was hanging on the cross, he committed her to the care of another believer. So what is Jesus saying here? In effect, he is saying that a true Christian is a person who is in a genuine relationship with himself. There's no one closer to us than our mother, because she is the one who has given us life. Our brothers and our sisters, whether we get on with them or not, are those who are intimately a part of our lives. And this is the point that Jesus is making here. The genuine Christian hears my words and believes my words, trusts my words, and obeys my words. And I want to draw out an application here to challenge us. How do you think Mary and James, the half-brother of Jesus, would have felt on this occasion? They're trying to get through the crowd to speak to him. And Jesus says, but my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. I can imagine myself feeling quite offended in that situation. Who does he think he is? I'm his brother. He doesn't want anything to do with me. But James heard those words. And let me read to you something that James wrote a number of years later, after he became a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What is James saying? He's saying, hear the word, do the word. And that is exactly what Jesus is saying here. My brothers and sisters, my friends, the greatest need in our lives is to hear and to obey and to apply the word of God in our lives. But I now want to show you the fact that there are many problems related to us hearing the word of God. Probably all of us have been happy enough to hear the message so far. But let's spend a little bit of time now looking at the parable that we call the parable of the sower. It would probably be better called the parable of the soils, or the parable of the hearers, because of the point that Jesus is making here. He is talking about how people hear the word of God when it is read or when it is preached. Jesus is preparing for the Great Commission when he was to send his disciples into all the world to preach the good news. Jesus, when he was here on earth, told his disciples to go only to the house of Israel. But as soon as he went back to heaven, he said, go into all the world. And this idea of the sower is someone who takes the seed and throws it. This system of sowing is known as broadcast. You take a handful of seed and you throw it in a set direction. Now, a man who is skilled at this will do it fairly easily and will cover the ground systematically. Probably, if we tried to do it, we'd have a lump here and a lump there. But Jesus is saying the seed has to be sown. The word of God, in a way, has to be scattered in an indiscriminate way. We are not to say, yes, I will preach to these people, but I won't preach to those people. I will go to that place, but I won't go to this place. Often, when people are called to missionary service or to serve God outside of their home area, they struggle with it. But God says, no, the word has to be spread everywhere. And then the sower, having sown the seed, we are told of the different places that it lands on the footpath, and it's trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air descend and devour it. And that can be pretty soul-destroying when you've spent time and it's just gobbled up. Then they talk about that which has been sown in soil where there are rocks just below the surface. It seems to be growing so well. But when you actually give it time, it withers. Why? Because there's no depth of soil, there's no water supply. But some will grow amongst weeds and thorns. And we're told that they grow up together, the thorns and the weeds. But the weeds actually choke what is growing there. And to be honest with you, one of the fears I have in life is to actually die by drowning or some form of suffocation. Because there you are, you're alert, you're aware, and you're aware that your life is being sucked out of you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. But that is the strength of picture that Jesus uses here. And that's the effect that can be had when we allow things to crush the word of God in our lives. Now, what are the points that Jesus shows us? We don't need to try and work out what Jesus is saying in this parable. He is clear. The seed is the word. The word of God, the Bible, the teaching that comes from the mouth of God. Hearing it read, listening to it, applying it in our lives. And the first response is that we become attacked by Satan, the devil. He comes and he snatches up what has been sown in our lives. And the tragedy is that Satan is alive and well today. And he goes out of his way to prevent the word of God being preached, to prevent us hearing the word of God and hear it being read and preached. And friends, just look at your life and think, what is it that allows you to give other things priority over hearing God speaking to you? Why does God speak to you? Well, we're told in a negative way. Look at the purpose of the word of God in verse 12. It's put in a negative way. But if we see it with its powerful purpose, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Why does God want you to hear the Bible? Why does God want you to hear his word for our generation? He wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that he has sent his son into the world to save sinners. He wants you to believe that God is holy, that he is just, and that he has to condemn sinners. But he wants you to see that you can be saved from that judgment by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the Bible is so important. From beginning to end, God wants to show us our need, and our need is to be saved. And he wants to show us the way, the only way that we can be saved. And that is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan will do anything and everything in your life to stop you hearing the word of God. He'll tell you that this is more important than being present at the morning service or at the evening service. That person is to take priority over listening to God. Why? Why does Satan do that? Because he does not want you to be saved. He does not want you to find peace with God. Do you see the choices that you make when you put something else in priority over the Word of God? It's got eternal consequences, friends. Many of us could be on the beach this morning doing other things. I could be following a different career, yes, even at this stage of my life. But God is so concerned for the souls of his people that he said to me over 30 years ago, Burnett, you are to leave that occupation and you are to read and to preach the word of God so that people might believe and they might be saved. Let me speak to you this morning. If you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is your greatest need. He is your greatest need. There is salvation in no one else, because there is no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Friends, God has ordained that his word should be preached this morning so that lost sinners might be saved. Now, it's easy to speak to those who have never responded, because your number one need is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But Jesus speaks about three other types of soil. And sadly, two of them, in a way, describe something that might be termed as temporary faith. People who hear the word of God and seem to grow as Christians, but in actual fact, it's been nothing more than an intellectual exercise. We read in verse 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word of God, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. They've heard the word of God. They say, yes, I want to be a Christian. But they've not actually heard the word fully. They've not listened to the whole of God's word. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And many people would want to say to them, and now I am happy all the day. Friends, the Bible doesn't tell us that we will be happy all the day. It tells us that we will have trials. It tells us that there will be difficulties. And that is the idea that Jesus is talking about here. In our Christian life, there will be trials. But the Word of God supports us in those times of trial. We turn to God and we say, Lord, I know that you've warned that there'd be difficulties, but I didn't expect it to be like this. Will you help me? Will you lead me through this? Friends, what's the choice? Go back to the Word of God and carry on through those trials, or let the trials crush you, your life, your family, your faith. Be careful. Take heed how you hear. But there's another type of soil that crushes us. And here, the word grows, the seed grows. There are thorns and things growing around it. And both seem to be growing together. The spiritual life of this person seems to be going well. But he's allowed this thing to stay in his life. He's allowed that temptation to continue growing in his life. Now Jesus cites two things in particular that are illustrated by the thorns. And we are told here that they are the cares of the world, riches, and the pleasures of life. And friends, we live in a world that has got increasing issues when it comes to the monetary problems that we face. And we live in a world when the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And I want to apply the scriptures here as meaningfully as I can. The Lord Jesus Christ, as Ian was saying this morning with the children, has promised that he will supply all our needs. And I want to say, as the pastor of this church, the one charged with the responsibility of caring for God's people, if you are living in a situation where you are finding it difficult to make ends meet and the temptation is to work 24/7, then share it with us. Share it with me. Share it with the elders. So that one, we can pray for you. But two, where necessary, we can be practical as a church and support you. There are cares that crush us. But alongside that, there are riches and the pleasures of life. The writer to the Proverbs says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." What effect is poverty or wealth having in your life? For the poor, they might feel, "I've got to work more hours and therefore I cannot gather to hear the word of God." For the rich, "Well, I can do whatever I want." But let me ask you, friends, we are wealthy. The vast majority of us here this morning are wealthy compared to the rest of the world. Let me put that into a context. We had friends in Papua New Guinea who, many of them worked as security men. And they earned 60 kina a fortnight. Now to translate that into our money, they earned £15 in a fortnight. £1 a day. Is that what you live on? The vast majority of us have a lot more than that. So we have to face the challenge that Jesus brings out here. Riches and the pleasures of life. Friends, what are you doing with your riches? Are you using them so that others might be relieved? Are you using them so that the gospel might be spread to the ends of the earth? Or are you using them to indulge yourself on the pleasures of life? God has created for us for joy and happiness. So I'm not a stick in the mud and saying, don't enjoy life. But we have to be those who see the Word of God and apply it in our lives. The fruit does not mature. Last year, we had rows of tomatoes. They grew up. There was plenty of rain to swell them, and they were wonderful. They looked, we're going to get wonderful fruit here, but there wasn't enough sun. And day after day, we would go out, and we would find fruit that had not matured on the ground. Friends, our Christian lives can be like that. We can have the wonders of God's Word, but it doesn't mature. We remain spiritually immature, spiritual cripples. But there are benefits in this story, and we are to use them. And I want to give you four applications of how we can benefit from hearing the Word of God. I've already addressed some of them. The first benefit of salvation, verse 12, so that they may not believe and be saved. The Lord wants us to be saved. Friends, there is enough in the Bible for you to understand your own need and the provision that God has made. You do not need anything else. You don't need to go off to some religious commune and have some incredible spiritual experience. Read the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. And that leads us to the second one. The benefit of light. Verse 16, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. The psalmist tells us that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As Christians, we can know the right way to live because God has given to us his word. Lord, what do I do in this situation? Well, where the word of God is clear, you obey the word of God. Don't pray for a special insight. Should I leave my wife because I'm infatuated by this woman? Don't bother praying that prayer, because Scripture tells you that marriage is lifelong. Lord, I want to serve you. Where do you want me to serve you? Well, pray that he would open your eyes. And he will use various means, but he will give you light. And notice verse 18, the benefit of living by faith in the Word of God. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. What is God saying there? God is saying that he will provide all that we need. I, with a psalmist, can say, I was young, now I'm old compared to a lot of people. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God has taken me from a pretty low-income family in the west of Wales. And he took me, my wife, our three children, to the ends of the earth. I'd never been on a plane until he called us. Our children had private education, not because we didn't want them to go into a state school, because they did when they were in this country, but because that was the only education available. But God supplied all our needs. We have traveled thousands upon thousands upon thousands of miles for the gospel. And God has provided the car, the aeroplane, the boat, the canoe, in order to do that. This is not some vague promise. But God's never supplied my need, Burnett. Have you trusted him? Have you been prepared to go beyond your garden fence because God has called you to do that? And then fourthly, proper hearing and responding to the Bible builds a closer and more intimate relationship with Christ. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. When we live in obedience to God's word, our relationship with Christ deepens. This parable and these stories totally destroy any delusion of a passing spiritual emotional experience, saying, I became a Christian all those years ago, I'm not walking with God now. No. Look at what verse 15 says. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Friends, don't tell me that you were converted 40 years ago, but you're not trusting God today. It doesn't save you. We are to trust God day after day after day. Years ago, I remember hearing Alan McNab at a Banner of Truth conference speaking on starting afresh in the ministry. And I thought, what are they doing asking a man of his age about starting in the ministry? And he stood up and he said, it seems every day, every Sunday, is a new start in the ministry. I now know what he means. Every time I come into this pulpit, it's like it's for the first time, and I've got to trust God. Friends, that is what this series of stories is all about. It's about hearing the word of God and trusting God in every situation. The one who endures to the end will be saved. How's your hearing, friends? Let's sing our final hymn, hymn 516. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. 516.